DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Price.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you.
Samantha.
I am gonna have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
Welcome into Not Another Podcast. I am James.
And I am Bryce.
I got a lot to talk about, and I'm going to try and stay away from Donald Trump. I didn't post the show last week. and it was a good one. I didn't post it, though, because we had some really bad audio problems. So, big apologies to Jim, but in all honesty, kind of his fault. I told him to call me on Skype, and he called me on Facebook. So,
I think it was a technology failure because he's in Amishville.
You know what? I would agree with that. I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
So, we are going to talk about Trump a little bit, but I want to save that because I've got so much other stuff to talk about. And some of it's political. Unfortunately, that's just the times we're in.
We're in a political cycle.
It really is, and as we're getting closer to November. Okay, I said I was going to avoid it, but I guess there's no avoiding it. Are you excited for the debates?
The ones that he's trying not to take part in?
Those ones.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah.
It's really funny because it's very clear that he knows if they debate, he's going to lose.
Yes.
And so he's avoiding it at all costs. And Hillary's people know that. Hillary's people know that so much.
That's why they're pushing it.
They know it so much that she's done, like, tons of research on him. All he's got on her is Benghazi and emails.
Yep.
And those are two things she's already owned up to.
Yeah.
She's come out and said, look, I fucked up, people. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I saw an article recently naming all the accomplishments she's had as a public servant, and then compared it to Donald Trump's, and there was nothing. There was just nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So, he's not qualified.
He's not. He just isn't, and I think more and more people are starting to realize it. Fuck, dude, when people from your own political party are saying, you know what?
Don't want you.
They're saying, we're going to support the opposition. Republicans have thrown in their hats to Hillary.
Hillary, yeah. Because they know he's a terrible choice.
Well, the Republicans screwed up when they let him get the nod. They had it they had it within their power to take it from him, and they chose to...
They rolled over.
Exactly. They just rolled over, put their ass in the air, and said, you know what?
Just go ahead.
Be gentle.
Have your way, yeah. He's not a gentleman. No. Did you see that because he's letting his campaign headquarters use one of his facilities, that he recently raised the rent on the building? So he's using this as a way to make money.
That's all it is. This whole thing is a money grab.
It's a money stunt.
It's a complete money grab, and I honestly think that there's other shit going on. I think he knows he's going to lose. And he's setting this up for something that's going to he's totally going to profit from.
Did you see the John Oliver skit from his last episode?
No, I haven't.
So basically he talks about an out for Trump, because if he loses, which is most likely, it will look terrible for him because his whole brand is built on winning. Yeah.
And this would be a failure on an epic scale.
Yeah, yeah, it would. And basically, he was giving him an out, saying that he could use this to show the public how ridiculous it is that they would even consider voting for him.
Oh God, yeah.
It was a really good argument for him to drop out and save face.
Well, he might even be setting it up like he's going to ride this whole thing to the end, just so at the end, when he does lose, he can be the one to say, I was just trying to show you how screwed up the political system is.
See, but he can't take it to a loss for him. He has to stop before the votes start coming in.
Do you think he might do? Do you think he might ride it until like November 6th and just drop?
He might. I wouldn't be surprised, because then that would be a fuck you to the Republican Party, because they would have no candidate.
Oh yeah, yeah, and Hillary would just win. Here's the problem I have with that, is that yes, Hillary and Trump are the contenders, but there are two other candidates no one's talking about, and one of them seems to be pretty qualified. This George Johnson guy. Do you know anything about him?
You mean Gary Johnson?
Him too. I was talking about his brother George.
I'm just glad that you didn't say Jill Stein, because I probably have to punch you in the face.
It wouldn't be the first time.
She's a moron.
Oh, undoubtedly.
I haven't really looked into his policies, but I have a good feeling that I won't agree on him or agree with him on a lot of stuff.
I will admit that I have not looked myself, but from what some people have told me, he's not too dissimilar from Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
And I really agreed wholeheartedly with Bernie. So
yeah.
I need to sit down and look into this guy.
There's a new podcast that I started listening to. It's called Opening Arguments. Uh-huh. They did an episode on the Gore v. Trump. It's basically a law podcast where they take like a major case and they kind of break it down, and they talk about how like people even in states that don't think their vote counts because their state is red or blue, how they affected the outcome in that for voting third party. And it was a really good argument on why it can be a big factor in an election.
See, I think you and I should start a write-in campaign, like try and see if we can have people write in someone else, someone who's not on the ballot.
There's an article that I really wish I would have sent you, but basically the election committee has taken these quote-unquote fraudulent candidates to task. And basically, they are asking them to prove themselves. So they're asking God to prove that he's there to be a candidate.
I love it.
I think they're doing it as a joke to kind of say, we know none of these people are actually true. Because there's some fucking weird-ass people on it. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. But
see, I think we should write in someone we know. Someone we know A exists, but someone who we know can do the job, but would also build up a decent cabinet that would include yourself and myself. I'm stating right now, Big Jim Willig for president.
That'd be good.
And I think you need to be his running mate. You need to be Vice President Bryce.
So it's the Federal Election Commission.
Okay.
They basically took on with nearly 250 officially registered presidential candidates that they believe are bogus. So basically the letter starts out, "Dear candidate, they sent this to God for President, H Majesty Satan, Lord of Underworld, Prince of Darkness, Captain Crunch, and Rocky Balboa."
Really, Captain Crunch got a write-in vote.
Yes. Hmm. Yeah. "It has come to our attention of the Federal Election Commission that you have failed to include an accurate name of the candidate and an accurate principal campaign committee." And so basically it just goes on to say that they have to file more paperwork, and some of the addresses were just ridiculous that these people had. And they could obviously tell it was like a warehouse in Brooklyn that the candidate was headquartered at.
I love it. I think that's great.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
But here's the what I was gonna wait on, but we have to talk about it since we are talking politics and Trump. So the big deal is that Trump kind of revealed his big plan to deal with illegal immigration and whatnot. And the funniest part of the whole thing, and this feels like a big joke. Like someone set this up, but apparently Trump went to Mexico to meet with Mexico's president, whose name escapes me. I think it's Peña.
Yeah.
So it didn't escape me that well. But they gave some sort of speech, and then Trump came back from there, went to Arizona, and just went off the rails with his immigration plan. Like, he's building that wall. He's going to keep all the Mexicans out, and he's deporting 11 million undocumented immigrants.
They didn't talk about how they were going to pay for the wall while he was down there.
Yeah, which is funny. But the day before it happened, someone, and I won't mention their name, someone asked me if I thought, like, something very bad was going to happen to Trump down there. And he set
it
up.
One of the cartels takes him.
No, he set it up, and I never even thought about this, but he set it up like, this would be a great way for someone to take out Trump.
Yeah.
Like, his plane, once it gets over into Mexican airspace, like, if they wanted to, the CIA could totally take the plane out. And it would make it look like Mexicans did it. And I was like, that's kind of far but then I thought about it and went,
Well, the problem would be, then we saw this with 9/11. There is a huge and violent backlash to Muslims after 9/11. So there would be a huge and violent backlash to the Hispanic community, and that's not a chance that they should be willing to take, and I don't think they would be.
No, but see, it would be so easy for someone like the CIA or something like that. See, my guess would be El Chapo.
It gives an opportunity. He made it out of prison once, right?
Is he back in prison? I seem to remember they caught him again.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
they
but
got
he
him.
Knows people. Come on.
I bet he snuck away in Donald's plane. I bet they're buddies.
My thought was, though, he's just going to come back with, like, the worst case of Montezuma's revenge. Just like, President Peña, just keep pushing water on him. You look thirsty.
He's constantly got Montezuma's revenge.
I just thought it'd be funny, like, in the middle of his speech, is like, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. Or he just goes in his...
Oh, dude, he just shit himself right there.
I'm going to build a wall. Oh, damn it.
Oh.
The Mexicans did this to me.
I'll nuke you.
I honestly think he's going off the rails. But the only good thing Trump's had going for him is his new campaign manager. Like, she's putting out fires left and right. But she's just as fucking crazy as he is.
Oh, dude, they're all fucking
crazy.
She's insane. He surrounds himself with insanity to keep...
So he looks sane.
Well, to keep his message continuing, because he can't switch to the general election because he has no policy to back
nothing. And and he was in Seattle the other night, and we had a chance to talk to a reporter who was there, and it was interesting how many people support him because he says, you know, what's on his mind, blah blah blah. But when you ask those
it's
same
all this
people,
PC bullshit.
Well, it's funny because when you ask those same people about how they feel about his policy, they all go against him.
Oh.
Like none of them.
But yet they're willing to vote for him.
Well, because, you know, he's going to fix America, which is bullshit. I find it funny that his version of a great America is the America from like the 40s and 50s, full of hate, segregation. Just the
women don't have rights.
Yeah. It's just the worst, you know. And you know he's the kind of guy that would try and take away women's rights.
Oh, fuck yeah.
He would totally get his buddies in Congress and get women unable to vote again, get them out of Congress, you know. And I think women realize that too, which is why he doesn't have a lot of negative rating with women. He doesn't have a lot of women supporters. And the ones who do support him aren't really listening to his message.
And, no.
Yeah, it's god awful. Just god awful.
Oh god, I can't stand this man.
Oh, fuck. I really do want to see the debates though. I really want Hillary to take him to task. But I want the other two candidates to be up there too. I don't want it to just be a two-party thing.
No, it needs to get away from a two-party thing.
Yeah, and we
thing.
Have
I do
there
agree
are two
with that.
Other candidates. I almost said viable, but then, you know, Stein.
Oh god, you're funny.
But there are two other candidates that need to be heard, and they because our system is the way it is, these two other candidates. And they could be fantastic candidates, not the current ones, but in the future. We could have amazing candidates for president who are not either Democratic or Republican, and no one will hear them. And I think that needs to change now. I think these other parties need to be heard. And I think going forward, I think starting with this cycle, going forward, we need to hear all candidates. We need to hear all sides, not just one and two. You know, will that change this year? Probably not. No. I know Gary Johnson is pushing to get on the debate stage, and it may come down to where it's Hillary versus Gary Johnson on the debates because Trump is too afraid to do it. Which to me, as a voter,
that shows a sign of weakness
big time, and he cannot show that. Not if he wants to win.
And if I understand correctly, I think he's only contractually obligated to do one debate. I may be wrong about that, but I think when he accepts the nomination, he guarantees at minimum one debate, and I think he's only going to do the one.
I think you're right. I think he has confirmed that he will do it, but he's trying to put it together like so it's on his terms.
Yeah. You
know? Like home court advantage, essentially. Like,
probably
do it at Trump Tower, you know?
Yeah. Eating a Trump steak at the Taj Mahal. Wait, none of those exist anymore.
He did it with the Republican debates.
Yeah.
Like, he exuded a lot of power and got the debates, like, to where, like, he had the advantage. And he said nothing. And still managed
and
to.
He will continue to say nothing.
Still managed to beat out every other Republican, which to me is crazy.
Yeah. Well,
he's
TV
star.
Look at his opponents. They weren't much better.
No, I'm not saying they were, but at least they were talking policy. You know? Not great policy,
even if it was
but
crazy.
They were talking...
Yeah, even if it was crazy policy.
Yeah, so. I honestly really, like, I'm going to TiVo it, record the debate somehow. I'm just going to play it over and over and over again.
Oh, it'll be all over YouTube.
Again, like I said, the only thing that Trump can say is her email scandal and Benghazi. And maybe this whole thing about her foundation taking money, which is complete bullshit. Like, have you looked into that?
Yeah. No, I'm not. It's stupid.
Oh, it's totally stupid. But the thing is like
stupid.
Everyone say, "Oh, she took money when she was." She didn't. She didn't take money. The money was offered to her, but she didn't take it. So it's all about spin. It's completely about spin.
Yeah, they're searching for everything that they can. The only way that he has a chance is if they can drag her name through the mud so much. And one of the polls that I just saw showed that he wasn't trailing her by very much anymore. But that can keep swinging. Oh. And I think that's what's going to happen this election cycle, is it's going to keep... He's going to get close, then he's going to drop off.
Yeah, because...
He's going to get close and drop off.
Every time
off.
He gets close, he opens his fucking mouth again.
Yeah.
And his poor... This is the third campaign manager he's had.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's not the last.
I guarantee you, probably by the end of September,
yeah.
He's yeah.
At most.
So, it's just, and she fucking looks insane. Like, she looks like a child killer. She's got like wide cocaine eyes. Her cheeks are something like she's done meth. Her hair is really stringy. And I swear to God, when she smiles, I see blood in her teeth. So, maybe it's just me. I mean, I don't know. But it could be. Yeah, could she be. Looks like a freaking child killer. Okay, moving on. God, it seems like it was just this year that Martin Shkreli was the guy who bought the AIDS drug.
Oh my God!
And upped the price, and now he's like he's on the verge of going to jail.
That fucking scarecrow man.
Well, here's the fucking thing. He inspired someone else.
Oh, no, they've been doing it for a while. They just did it smarter.
This whole fucking EpiPen thing.
They did it a lot quieter and a little bit slower.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while, but, I mean, like, the CEO or the president of the company or something gave herself, like, a huge fucking raise. Like
1.6
yes,
billion or something?
Just huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but now they've come out and said that they're going to offer a generic version. Now, here's the thing I learned this week. The main ingredient in the EpiPen, epinephrine, I believe it's called.
Yes.
It costs $2 to make. $2.
Yeah.
So from the profit margin
the whole
on this thing,
thing
is insane.
It's huge. Yeah, no. So there's two sides to this coin. A lot of these medicines don't cost much to make. I understand that they have to put a lot of money into R&D for a lot of these and for future research.
So here's something else I found out about that. Now, so say you get, $1 million to develop a drug. In this case, epinephrine. You use actually very little of that $1 million. And a lot of it goes towards research and development for other drugs that may fail.
Other drugs.
It was explained to me in this way. Look at the record industry. You're an up-and-coming band that a record company signs. And they give you $1 million to record your first album. They know with your album they're going to get a hit. But what happens is that $1 million... also pays for 40 other bands to record albums that are gonna flop.
That may not make it. Yeah.
So that's basically how the drug industry works. They get the money to R&D their drug and a bunch of other drugs. Most of those drugs don't make it to testing because they just fail. But then you get epinephrine, which works, and they put that out, and they mark up the price to help pay for all the other research for all the other drugs that have failed.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But I also think
that
needs to be looked at because I think it's not working as well as we'd like.
No. There needs to be a limited God, what's the fucking word I'm looking for?
There needs to be a cap on the research. And
not a cap on the research, but a cap on the amount that they can make off of these. They have to prove how much it cost, and they have to be allowed to make a reasonable profit.
Yeah, okay, so let's look at that. Okay, so epinephrine is $2 to make.
Yeah.
A reasonable profit to me to continue research should be mark it up to like $20. I think that's like a 200% markup. I'm not very good at math, so that might be wrong. So an EpiPen. Now let's take into consideration too the development of the delivery system and stuff. So an EpiPen, which is $2 for the medicine, let's say $5 for the delivery system, make it like $25.
Well, what about distribution?
Fuck distribution.
Overhead.
Fuck that too. If you can't, you know, figure out the math from, and you know you're going to sell a lot of these.
Yeah, because they only last.
They
so
only
long.
Last a year, and like you have to. Yeah, if you don't use them, you have to replace them in a year. So you're going to be.
No, I think it's less than that. I think it's only a few months. I don't think it's even
a
year.
No, I know someone who uses them, has to buy them, and he said it was a year. So going off that knowledge of, you know, Yeah. It could be wrong, but let's just say for the sake of argument that it is a year. Each year you're going to have to sell. Someone's going to have to buy more.
Yeah. And there's hospitals that keep them on hand
so
as well.
Exactly. So you're going to be making your profit. And that profit should be enough to cover your overhead distribution, all of that stuff. And still leave you with a pretty decent profit. Hey, play devil's advocate. Make it $25 or make it $50.
Yeah.
But raising the cost up to $600 per pen?
See, that is ridiculous.
It's, and we've talked about this before, it is far more profitable to treat the symptoms than the disease.
No, it's profitable to treat the disease than treat the symptoms.
No, because if you treated the disease, then we'd have cures for cancer. We would not have diseases because we would have cures.
I mean, once you have the problem, the medicine, like cancer medicines, are way more expensive than preventative screenings to prevent it to begin with. That's what I was talking about. I wasn't talking about like cancer cures because we're not there yet.
See, I agree to the effect that we're not there yet, but I think we can be so much closer if we'd stop working on the symptoms.
I think we would be much closer. The problem, there's a couple problems I think with it, is one, these companies don't share their discoveries with other companies. So the research that they have doesn't get shared with anybody because it's all about making money. So if they were forced to share their knowledge, whether it be you want to take a government grant, because a lot of these get money from the government to do their research. If you want to take government money, you must share everything about your research.
I completely agree.
And there's also, while HIPAA is a wonderful tool, there needs to really be a way that patients can have some of their information shared to research facilities that are more like college research, college-backed places, not these pharmaceutical companies. Because they have found, and they didn't know about this for decades, that one medicine that this person was on treated this disease that this person had that they didn't know that this medicine would work with. And if the doctors and the research facilities had been able to get this information, they could have found treatments or prevention or whatever for different issues.
Yeah. It's all about greed.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
I get so frustrated with this. It's,
I know. It's America's capitalism.
It's not just America,
at its finest.
It's world over.
Well, it's global capitalism, but it's capitalism at its finest. And the problem is, we shouldn't be a capitalist nation anymore because we've seen all the money goes to the top and disappears. It should be limited capitalism.
Yeah, I agree. Which is why I'm writing in Bryce Wolf for president.
too bad I'm a little too young to ride.
You're just not that. Yeah. See, that's why I say we make Jim the president, you the vice president, and
he can be my puppet.
Exactly. He can be your Bushy. okay. Have you heard of the game No Man's Sky?
Yes.
Have you played it?
No, because it's for PC and PS4 currently.
Apparently, this game is so bad that people are actually trying to get refunds.
I heard that it was not as described.
Yes. Now, it sounds like I've been looking into this game because it's similar to another game that I think you and I might really dig on. And I'll get to that in a moment. Okay, so No Man's Sky is basically an open world, a very open world game that encompasses...
It's supposed to be endless.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be no end to the boundaries.
Yeah. Basically, you start the game off on a planet. You have a spaceship. And through exploration, mining for elements, you can upgrade your spaceship. But that's essentially it. There's no enemies to fight.
Yeah, I heard there's not much of a resolution to the game.
You're just going to different planets and mining. It is it's pretty. I've seen pictures of it. It looks beautiful. But
yeah.
No one seems to like it. And
yeah.
Some people have actually gotten refunds through Amazon and I think some other place. Now, if you've bought it online, there's no way. Steam is the company who made it, and they're just blanketing no refunds. You bought it, you stuck with it. But their stock is just falling apart.
Yeah.
People are just so angry over this. I don't know if they're planning to do like some sort of reboot for it or something, because this is a problem. This is a pretty big problem. And I think you and I is...
It was a really hyped game,
it really
game
was,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what's going on with it, but apparently, like, from the launch to now, which isn't very long, like, player activity on it just drops significantly. Like, 66%, like, within the opening weekend, I believe.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Well, I heard...
And it's dropped
even more
since then.
Yeah, I've heard that there's really not much to do, and people have basically found the end of the game, which is there is nothing to do.
It's okay. I'll mine for a while, and I'll go to this planet and
go
that's
fly
it.
Somewhere else and do
yeah,
the same
no,
thing.
Yeah, there's no aliens to fight. There's no there's nothing. Okay, so. I was reading that because I was interested in the game, but the more I read, the more I resolved that this game...
Dissuaded yourself?
But it also led me to discover a game called Star Citizen.
Star Citizen is...
Right now, it's a completely crowdfunded game, which you and I are familiar with. We both play Ark, which is a fantastic game.
Yeah.
And it's a game that you can see as they get better, the gameplay gets better. Star Citizen is the same way. The only difference is Star Citizen is not out yet. There is, I think you can get a kind of a beta version of the game from Star Citizen. I believe it's StarCitizen.com. I'll have to double check that. But you can also get ships and stuff for it. Now, the game is supposed to be out this year. They're looking for an actual disc launch, so you'd be able to buy the disc or get it online. I have not seen any video of it, but I've heard descriptions about gameplay video and stuff. Here's essentially what this is. Star Citizen is a completely open world game, much like No Man's Sky. But you can team up with friends, become pirates, you fight aliens, you can rob other players. I think they're upwards of 200 worlds at this point, and they're getting more. You can go into bars, you can get jobs. There's guns. Come on, who doesn't love a good sci-fi gun?
Yeah.
Upgrade ships. Some of the ships I've seen pictures of, not too shabby looking.
Yep.
I
remember when they started doing the GoFundMe to start this.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. It was like 2012, I think.
Yeah, it...
maybe 14, I'm not sure.
It looks good. It looks like there's an alpha available to download from their website.
Yeah.
So it's not quite a beta yet.
Yeah, but they want it out this year. I guess they were trying to get it out last year.
Yeah.
But they held back because there was a lot of problems with... and this is how dedicated they are to this, because some of the problems that they're addressing is going into a bar and looking across and seeing a guy... A non-playable character drinking, and he's not holding the glass right.
Yeah.
Detail, like, insignificant details like that is what they're trying to...
They're trying to make it perfect.
Figure out, yeah. So if it takes another year, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. They just need to keep the hype up so that people don't lose interest in it.
Yeah, and the thing is like, I didn't know anything about this game until I started reading about No Man's Sky. I'm really interested. You and I have talked before about games like this that we'd like to play.
Yeah.
A completely open world game that kind of combines stuff from games that we love, like Star Wars, Destiny, Ark.
Yeah.
Like, all these games, they're taking elements from and putting together. One of the things that I heard described was these teammates that were working together, and two of them were on a planet trying to fight a group of pirates, and their buddy or their buddies were 1,000 light years away on another planet on their way to help their buddies, and showed up just in time to, like, drop bombs.
Yeah.
And I was like, that would be so epic, because you and I, who love to play games online together, how awesome would it be, like, you know, you're on Saturn while I'm, you know, 90 billion light years away trying to get weapons for us to take out something, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. And that's,
yeah. The only problem we're going to have is it's going to be a PC game, and it doesn't look like it's coming to console, and it's going to be a high-end PC game.
Yeah. I did see something that they were looking into Xbox One, though.
Well, I just read an article that said that...
They haven't discounted it.
Yeah, they said that... was
the last thing I saw.
There needs to be... there's going to have to be some changes.
Yeah.
And the developer said that they will not scale it. They will not dumb the game down for a console. So either the consoles have to catch up with high-end PC, and they have to change some policy is what it sounded like.
Yeah.
But it does look like an awesome game.
Yeah, and I don't think consoles are that far behind PC anymore. I would guess within the next... Whatever the next Xbox is going to be.
Scorpio.
Is that what it is already?
Yeah.
Shit. I just got my Xbox One, man.
Well, it's basically an Xbox One, but it's going to be like an upgrade. Kind of like the Xbox One S is.
Yeah.
But it's actually going to have some hardware changes, like better processor, better video card, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I think if that's just like an upgrade from the Xbox One, I think that the next full console, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're probably 5 to 6 years away from it.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you that will be the one that's whatever you get on PC will be available on console.
Yeah, they're going to have to.
Yeah. We're catching up to it so much now. That it's, I mean, it's almost ridiculous. I hardly know of any PC games that aren't available.
Yeah, there's not as many as there used to be.
Yeah, yeah. But I think this is going to be one of those ones that really pushes console makers to try and get closer to that.
Yeah.
So, are there any games right now that you're looking forward to?
Final Fantasy. Yeah.
When does that come out?
November. 26th or 28th, end of November.
Right it now, the only thing I'm looking forward to is Skyrim.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the Skyrim reboot.
Yeah.
I was kind of looking forward to No Man's Sky, but that obviously, thank God, didn't work out.
Yeah.
But there's not really anything through the end of the year that, you know...
Yeah. If you haven't, look at some of the Final Fantasy, I think it's 15 gameplay.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a beautiful game.
See, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah, you hate Final Fantasy. Fuck you.
No, it's not that I hate Final Fantasy, because some of those games are fucking beautiful. What I hate is turn-based fighting.
This isn't... they've gotten away from turn-based a while ago.
Oh, have they? Okay. Yeah. Then I might check it out.
Yeah. It's real-time now.
See, that, I like real-time fighting. It just makes me, it, you know. And Final Fantasy games... have always had really good graphics and stories.
They've had fucking amazing storylines.
And that's why the Final Fantasy games take so long to come out.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to come out this month, but they decided to push it off because originally they were going to do a day one patch. Mm-hmm. And they talked about it, and the lead developer kind of realized that there's a lot of people that'll be playing offline, so they won't get the correct full experience if they can't do the day one patch.
Yeah.
So they decided to push it off, get the patch put on the disc, as well as polish up some of the other visual details to make it even better.
Are you at all interested in Rise of Iron?
I am, actually. I have started playing Destiny again.
Yeah, I have too.
Yeah.
I started playing it on a whim because I was just tired of everything else I was playing.
Yeah.
And it was fun again.
Yeah.
And one of the things I noticed is a lot of the problems that we had, and this is, you can level this at any PvP game. Whenever there's a good PvP game, everyone comes out and to play, and a lot of those people are using less than honest methods to win.
Yeah.
We've discussed lag switches, yeah. just the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
All those people seem to be gone now.
Yeah, I haven't tried any of the PvP yet.
I've been playing a lot of just Crucible stuff. Essentially because I haven't been able to get a group. There's a couple. I still want to finish the
Oryx.
Yes, I want to finish that. But then there's a new Prison of Elders thing that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And from everything I've seen, drops like just a ton of good loot at the end.
Yeah.
And you can play it as much as you want. You don't have to get the special thing to get it. You can just, once you play it, you can just play it over and over. And I've seen videos where it just constantly just drops good stuff.
Yeah.
So I want to get into that. I might try and do that later today.
Yeah.
But it's fun again. I've been having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
So I am very curious about Rise of Iron. I will check it out when it comes out on the 20th. So I'm pretty psyched for that. Destiny is one of those games that it's fun, but then it starts to, you know, when you do a lot of grinding, it starts to wear down on you.
Yeah.
But if you take, and I'm not talking like a month, you need to take a significant amount of time off.
Yeah, especially if you play it as hard.
Yeah, and we play it pretty goddamn hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun again, and so I'm enjoying it. I was playing it this morning, kicked a lot of ass. I forgot about Three of Coins. I had like 33 of coins. For those who don't know, Three of Coins is a little thing you play, you can use during a battle, and it potentially gives you more loot. It dropped me, Bryce, you're going to love this, it dropped me a 313 last word.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like, damn. So, I'm not leveling up as fast as I'd like, but it's just because I can't get into the big, you know, the group so I can get into the big bosses and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, I'm leveling up slowly.
You're relearning the game, basically.
Yeah, and I'm getting better at it. I've got better equipment than when I started, like, a month ago. My light level has gone up from, I think it was 300 when I started. I'm up to 310 now.
Nice.
So, and that's just, and that's been with just casual play.
Yeah.
Like, if I played it hard, I could probably get even better. But I'm not interested in playing hard because I don't want it to wear down on me.
Yeah.
Especially before this new expansion comes out.
Yeah.
I know nothing about it, and I kind of want to keep it that way.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's going to be more enjoyable that way.
Yeah.
I'm going through a list here that I found of games that are coming out through the end of the year. I'm not really seeing anything.
Yeah.
I see Dishonored 2, which I didn't play the first one, so I don't know if it's that good. The only thing that I'm seeing that I'm liking, I'm not seeing Final Fantasy on here.
It should be.
I'm looking through October here. I'm probably just missing it. And that kind of irritates me. Hey, Farming Simulator 17.
Fuck yeah.
You know, I kind of want to get a Farming Simulator just...
just because.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay, November 29th.
Yeah. I was close.
I was looking in October, that's why.
What about Titanfall 2?
Titanfall 2 I am looking forward to. Yeah. I got the first Titanfall and loved it.
Yeah, I missed out on the open beta last weekend.
Oh, was it? Oh, damn, that would have been great. No, I'm totally down for Titanfall 2. I really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
It's completely PvP. There's not, at least in the first one, I'm not sure if they've done something for the second one, but I kind of hope they didn't. I kind of hope it's just PvP. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
Because it's the PvP, you know, which is you've got your gun, your weapons and stuff, but when you build up enough stamina or whatever it is, you get to call in a giant mech.
Yeah.
And the better you get, the more you can deck out your mech with better weapons and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks like it.
So I'm really excited for Titanfall 2. It's probably going to be – I probably won't get it when it comes out, but it may be a Christmas gift. So
yeah,
totally psyched for that. And I hope our schedules have been really fucked. You and I have not had been able to play games at all.
I know.
Together, and it kind of sucks because every time I jump on – like I haven't seen any of our other gaming friends either.
Yeah.
And it just kind of sucks because I miss it. But, you know, our jobs have gotten better. We're getting more money, so it means less time.
Yeah.
To play, you know.
That's the trade-off, right?
Yeah. It sucks, but at the same time, I know we'll eventually find time. You know, we could just stop doing the podcast so we can play.
We should do the podcast while we game.
We might do that next week. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Pick a game, go out, and just talk about whatever fuck. Because that's when we play games, that's all we ever do anyway, is just talk about bullshit. So, yep. So game-wise, there's not really a lot coming out for this year. I'm not sure what's coming out next year. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm completely blind in what's... Oh, here's a small list. There's nothing. It's got up to, like, March 7th. There's not really anything.
Yeah, usually they... There.
Oh, okay, here's a game I do actually want to play. South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
Oh, God, with the VR smell.
Dude, this game looks incredibly fun. It looks incredibly stupid, but incredibly fun.
Yeah.
And I guess, I kind of want to look for it, but I guess The Stick of Truth was actually pretty damn fun.
That's what I heard.
So I might go looking for the Stick of Truth. See if I can't find a used copy or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, not really a lot. And see, here's the thing, too. Xbox is still fairly new. It's only been out like a year and a half.
No, it's been a couple.
Has it been like two?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we're not even in the height of the game yet.
Yeah.
Consoles are usually out 3 to 4 years before you start getting the really good games.
Yeah.
And when you start getting the really good games, you need to start saving up because a new console is on its way. So, it just feels like we haven't reached that peak of gaming. I know they're not supporting 360 anymore. No new 360 games.
Yeah.
Like, it's done. If you got a 360, whatever games you have, that's it. And most of those are becoming backward compatible. So, which is cool because then... You know, you can still play your old games, but now your 360 is pretty much a paperweight.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I've been considering, I think almost all the games we have are backwards compatible.
I'll have to check the ones that you'd actually want to play.
Yeah, I'll have to check and see. But when, like, everything is backwards compatible, I might sell off the 360. I still enjoy it, though.
It's still usable for other things right now.
So, I don't know, but, you know, when you... There comes a point of console overload when you have just too many consoles.
Yeah.
So, and, like, we've got 3 set up, and we've got a 4th in a box somewhere.
Yeah.
So, we might be at that point, but I'm not ready to give... any of them up yet, because we still use them, or my wife still uses them.
Yeah.
Because there are games that won't play on the one yet, so...
Yeah.
And it's fine, but, you know, something's going to have to go before I get the next Xbox console.
Yeah.
That's all that's going to happen. We're getting close to Star Wars Rogue One, and there's also been a shit ton of Star Wars Episode 8 theories coming out.
Yeah.
And...
I'm going into episode 8 cold.
Yeah.
As cold as I can.
Yeah, me too.
But some of these I read these theories and stuff because at this point it's all just hypothesis. There's nothing in them that can be confirmed or denied, and they're all just theories, essentially based on stuff left over from episode 7. But one of them I did want to talk to you about. There's a supposed script leak.
Yeah.
Regarding Luke, Anakin, and Snoke.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it breaks down to is that Snoke is actually Luke's grandfather.
So that would be Vader.
No, Vader would be Luke's father.
Oh, yeah.
Snoke would be Anakin's father.
Yeah, that could be.
It could be.
That'd be an interesting twist.
It would, except for one small factor. Anakin's mother says, quite clearly, there was no father.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Yeah.
The Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan basically say the midichlorians, who are pretty much the producers of the Force, created Anakin.
Yeah.
So how could this be? I mean, it's an interesting theory. I like the theory, and it could play out really well, but I just think that they would be stepping in a minefield if they went that way.
Yeah.
You know? My favorite theory is that Snoke is actually Darth Plagueis.
Yeah, I do too.
That's my favorite theory.
Yeah.
And for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. I think it flows the best.
It does, and it makes more sense. But to say that, you know, and it could still be that Plagueis is Anakin's father. I just don't see that as happening.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense to me. It makes about as much sense to me as Obi-Wan being Rey's grandfather. It doesn't hold water to me. I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm just saying that it doesn't hold water. And they would have to do a shitload of explaining to make it make sense to me.
Yeah.
It's simply because Obi-Wan to me upheld the ways of the Jedi throughout his life. And that means no attachments.
Yeah.
Attachments would be getting married, having sex, having a kid. Those are attachments. Obi-Wan lived a life of complete solitude in the time from Anakin's death to when we see him again in New Hope.
Yeah.
So for him to have not only fathered a child, but to see, you know, have that child grow up and have a child of their own, just doesn't flow with me. Her being connected to the Skywalkers in some way, even if she isn't Luke's daughter, makes far more sense to me. And I did see another theory that's very interesting that would connect her to Luke, while still not being Luke's daughter, is that Luke killed Rey's parents because they were dark side users.
Yeah.
And then took Rey and put her on Jakku.
Yeah.
Which would also kind of ease in some of those people who think that Kylo Ren knows Rey.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren could have been with Luke when that happened.
Yeah.
So there is that. I'm not sure if I like that theory or not. It does hold water. It holds more water than Snoke being Luke's grandfather.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, just like everyone else, I'm going to wait and see. But a lot of these theories I just feel are complete bullshit. And some of them I'm hoping are not true. Some of them I kind of wish they'd expand on a little bit more and maybe see if they work. But that's all it is. It's all theories and hypothesis and all that shit until the movie comes out. We are just a few months away from Rogue One. I am so psyched for that movie.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Just like with Episode 7, I've stayed away from anything spoilerish. All I've watched is the trailers. I don't watch any of the behind the scenes. And there was at Comic-Con this year, they, instead of doing a trailer, they did a behind the scenes feature, which gave nothing. It was kind of like a glorified trailer, essentially.
Yeah.
But they did release a new trailer that's pretty badass. My favorite scene of the whole thing is the main character, Jyn Erso, running on a platform and a TIE fighter rising up.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the moment where, like, I'm just
You're
ready
hooked.
To see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot about this movie that...
The thing I think I like the most is it's more of a Star Wars war movie versus
yes.
a Jedi movie, at least how they're showing it.
There's been a lot of conflict about that, and I think I heard... We talked about this. There was a big reshoot order made, and everyone was freaking out. And we've discussed on this show, reshoots are a part of any movie.
Yeah.
Every movie has reshoots.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's pickup shots. It's things that we didn't get right the first time.
Yeah.
Reshoots are just a
stuff
part
that doesn't
of,
flow right.
Yeah. When you worry is when things like with Suicide Squad, where they ordered $200 million after the movie's locked.
Yeah.
And they go back. That's when you worry.
And
like
Fantastic Four.
Yeah. But this is just part of the shooting schedule. This wasn't like reordered. They didn't lock the movie and go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And from what I gather, the reshoots were fine.
Yeah. I'm sure they were just little things.
They talked about it at Comic-Con, apparently. I saw a couple panels where they just talked, like, guys, don't worry. So it seems like it's going to be a pretty epic war slash spy movie in the Star Wars universe, which I'm totally for.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Use the whole universe.
Yeah, there's going to be references to Jedi.
Yeah, we know Darth Vader makes an appearance at the very least.
There's discussion about Emperor Palpatine also making an appearance, although it will not be Ian McDiarmid.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do what they did, what happened, because Empire Strikes Back, you see the Emperor for the first time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Ian McDiarmid. They didn't cast Ian McDiarmid until Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Ian... From what I gather, Ian didn't want to be part of it. He doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
They could do a hologram of him. They don't have to show it in detail. They don't even need to have his voice. He can just be someone talking to the Emperor via hologram. The Emperor says nothing. That's fine. Emperor still makes an appearance. So, I'm not worried about it. I'm hoping Vader is just a cameo.
Yeah. I don't want him to be a central part of it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really hooked on this movie because it really hooks my nostalgia for the original trilogy. You're seeing the original vehicles. You're seeing the X-Wings and TIE Fighters, Star Destroyers. The AT-ATs we see are not the AT-ATs from Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
They're slightly different, but they're close enough for me to go, who the fuck cares? There's AT-ATs on a beach.
Yeah.
There's new stuff. There's old stuff. I am psyched for it. There's... original stormtroopers, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
There's original stormtroopers getting their asses kicked by a man with
a
stick.
And missing everything.
I was listening to a commentary for Empire Strikes Back, and they were discussing stormtroopers' ineffectiveness. And people forget that in Star Wars, stormtroopers were effective as fuck.
Yeah.
If they shot at you, they hit.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't until Empire that they started to get, you know...
a little less graceful.
Yeah. And then really bad in Jedi. Like, they couldn't hit the broadside of a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
But in New Hope, man, if they aimed at you, you were dead. I mean, the opening scene in Star Wars, they wipe out, like, a whole mess
of rebels.
An
entire cruiser, yeah.
So... you know, Stormtrooper is pretty badass. I don't know why they made him less effective.
Yeah.
Well, I do. It's a kid's... it's the A-Team syndrome.
Yeah.
The good guys have to win, you know?
Yeah.
So, but no one ever got shot in Empire or, you know, Jedi. So, but it looks like these are going to be effective Stormtroopers. And here's the reason why. You've got an army of rebels that no one cares about. They're all faceless cannon fodder.
Yeah.
So your stormtroopers can be effective as shit. And I'm hoping that that's where they go with it. Like, stormtroopers are actually scary.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I think it's going to be a really good spy slash war movie. So I'm really looking forward to it. And that's it. We've run out of time. Cool. So thanks for listening, all three of you. and we'll see you next time. See ya.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.